Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Our text this morning is found in verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker here. He had just sent out 70 disciples preaching the gospel and going to the cities where he planned to go and preach himself. They have returned with glowing reports, and they tell the Lord. And it seems like that this matter that they mentioned in verse 17, that even the demons were subject to them in his name, was sort of the highlight of all their ministerial efforts. They seemed to think that was the greatest thing. They were commanded to heal the sick and do all these other things, which they were able to do. But they seemed to think that this was the greatest thing that they were able to do, was to cast out these demons. And so they rejoiced in that. And it was right and proper for them to rejoice in that. When we are enabled by grace to do something for the Lord, it's right and proper for us to rejoice in that, whatever it may be. If you're able to help somebody, if you're able to counsel somebody, if you're able to warn somebody, you should be able to rejoice in that, because it's a good thing. And that rejoicing is not a bad thing. It is not wrong to do. But I would have you to note that our Lord here in our text redirects their rejoicing. He said, I want to take you off your rejoicing that you're able to cast out demons. That's good. It's well that you rejoice, but I want to take you off of that, and I'm going to show you something that is far greater, which you can rejoice in. And we will discuss this, the Lord willing, in the message. So my theme this morning is believers rejoicing redirected. First of all, let's look at this temporal joy that they had. It was a great joy that they had, and they had power to heal the sick in verse 9. The Lord gave them that power, but they were so enthralled with this ability to cast out these unclean spirits in the name of Jesus, and nothing wrong with that, as I've already mentioned, but why would the Lord take their attention off of that and put it somewhere else? Well, there's a good reason for that. That joy and that miracle working power that he gave them was not permanent. That was going to stop. And the Lord wanted us, you and me, and all believers, all through the ages, to have our rejoicing on something that was going to be permanent. So that's important. Therefore, it is for us to recognize that the time would soon come when the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ would not work miracles. In fact, when we get to 1 Corinthians 13, we find out that there's only three gifts that were remaining: faith, hope, and love. And did you know that two of those were going to pass away when we see the Lord? You'll never need faith and hope anymore after we see Christ, but love will run on through all the ages. So we must see then that there was good reason why Christ said, I don't want you to be rejoicing on something that's temporary. I want you to rejoice in something that will last forever. And he tells them what that is. I want you to rejoice, he says, that your names are written in heaven. Now we come to part two of the message, and that is, where are we going to find the book in which this writing occurs? Notice that our Lord says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So somewhere there is a book, and this book contained their names, and he wanted them to rejoice in that, and we should be able to rejoice in that. Now, what book then contains the names of these 70 and of all the others of God's elect of all ages? Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Revelation, and I'm going to show you where and what that book is. In the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, we have this statement, and it's found in two verses, in verse 12. And John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Now, these are the books of the records of men. Did you know that every day we live, we're writing a record? And that record is in God's book in heaven by which we will be judged. That's what's going on here. The books were opened. But that's not all. And another book was opened. And note what he says, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things, not out of the book of life, but out of the things that were written, the things they did, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in it, and they were judged every man according to their works. This has to do with reward or punishment. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the book that Jesus is discussing in our text. It's written in heaven. Their names were in it, and not their names only, but all the names of all the elect of God of all ages. Let me tell you, this book is not something new. David knew about this book. Let me turn you back to the Psalm 69, 69th Psalm, and in verse 28, David says, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Again, Daniel knew about this book. Turn with me in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. If you've ever looked at the carnage of war and all the people that died in it, I saw a photograph taken in World War II on the Russian front, and the tanks and the snow and the ice and all of that were moving everywhere, and a German soldier probably fell down and the tank run over him. He was as flat as a pancake. That's the kind of carnage that you see in war. And there's all kinds of it. And men are killed in horrific ways and wounded in unbelievable ways. And the suffering is horrendous. But He says here that this is going to be the greatest of all. But listen to what he says. Since there was a nation even to the same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. Who's going to be delivered, Daniel? Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Not only do we have it in Daniel, but Paul knew about it. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also with other my fellow laborers. He's talking about fellow Christians. Listen to what he says. Whose names are in the book of life. Therefore, all the disciples knew about the book of life because they remembered our Lord's teaching where he told them, don't rejoice in the fact that you could cast out demons, but rather I want you to rejoice in the fact that your names are written in heaven, in the book of life. So we understand then that this is the book of life. Now, what is the title of it? It's referred to as a book. It's referred to as written, but we want to know more about it. We get the full title of this book in the same way that we get the message that was written over the cross of Christ. You remember that in Matthew, the scripture says that the title that Pilate had written, which was in Greek and Latin and Hebrew, that Matthew says, this is the King of the Jews. Mark says that it said the King of the Jews. Luke says, this is the King of the Jews. John says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So we put them all together and we get the whole message. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. We do the same thing to get the full title of this book that we are discussing here. And it is, let me turn you to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8. And there we read, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. Now, mark what he says, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now go back to Revelation 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So this book is the Lamb's book of life. Now we know the date when it was written because he said in the text that I just read to you that it was from the foundation. That is from the foundation of the world. This book was written before God created the world. We know who the author is. It is the Father, God the Father, who has written this book as he wrote the law on Mount Sinai with his own finger, Exodus 31, 18. The original of this book lies by the throne of God, and no enemy of God can ever touch it or ever reach it. It never will be destroyed or defaced. It cannot be removed or lost because it's in heaven and it is under the keeping of God's power. Just recently I read where Bill Gates bought a notebook of Leonardo da Vinci and he paid $30 million for it. Here's a book that's far more valuable than the notebook of Leonardo da Vinci. But nobody's ever going to buy it on an auction. It is not for sale. It is not being sent out. It is in heaven where it is recorded by the power of the Lord. This book contains not only the 70 that are mentioned in our text, nor the 11 apostles. Now, Judas wasn't in that book. Judas was a traitor and a thief. He was among the apostles, but he was never in the Lamb's Book of Life. In verse 21, Jesus refers to these who are written in the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And he says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. And did you know this is the only place in the scripture where we read of Jesus rejoicing? We know that he rejoiced, but this is the only place that says that he did. Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things which he has just revealed about their names being written in heaven. These things are hidden from the world, and they don't believe them, they don't receive them. From the wise and the prudent, those that think they know and have all the answers, like the Pharisees, the Jews who rejected Jesus Christ. But notice that he goes on to say, and have revealed them unto babes or unto children, little children. You know, a little child will receive what you give him, will believe what you tell him, will do what you tell him to do. These little ones are those that are drawn by the power of God's grace to come to Jesus Christ and trust in him as Savior. They don't look to the right or to the left and say, I don't know about, or because I don't understand these mysteries. None of that. They come to him. And that's what Jesus said here. And then he goes on to say, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And then he turned to his disciples and he said, privately, he didn't tell this to the crowd. He got his disciples, as it were, off to the side. So I want to put something in your ears that I want you to understand.
Blessed are the eyes.
See the things that you see, for I tell you that many prophets, he's talking about the Old Testament, and kings have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. It was a precious gift. And they, these little children, receive the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they follow him. Now, in the third place, let me insist that this doctrine is no fatal or stoical message. There are a lot of people that hear this, which Christ revealed here, and they say, we don't want that. We don't like that. I've actually had people tell me that they don't believe these doctrines in the Bible, but they don't believe them. You want to be careful about rejecting anything that's in the Word of God. Every child of God is drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit, but I want to insist that he comes willingly to Jesus Christ. every account we read in the scripture of somebody being saved, they came willingly to Jesus Christ, even though they were drawn by the power of God. Don't ever confuse these things. Moses, if we go back to the Old Testament, do you remember what the scripture says? Chose to be suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He chose that. Why did he do it? Because of the drawing power of the Holy Spirit compelled him, but he came willingly to serve the Lord. He suffered the affliction of God's people rather than to go with those pleasures that were temporary. These disciples then that Jesus is talking about, these whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if they've been called by the grace of God, we don't know about that, in their lifetime somewhere they will be called, but they may not be called at the time they first hear the gospel or whatever. But the point is that Christ is describing what they do, and they do it willingly. Let me show you how the gospel is set forth in those times. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17, you turn with me there. And there's a couple of things I want you to see in these verses that I'm mentioning to you. The Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians, now they were Gentile, you remember, worshiping Athena and all those other gods that were in Ephesus. And verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. He's distinguishing now between the Gentiles and the Jew. Those that are nigh were the Jews. They were close to God because God had given his revelation and he'd chosen them as a nation and give them all kinds of blessings. But see, he says here that Christ came and preached peace to you, which were far off. That tells us that the gospel was sent forth. Unsaved people, idol worshipers, and everything else. Notice also in the next verse, and through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of faith, and you're built upon the foundation. And you know what he's saying? Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So don't ever get the idea that the gospel is not sent to the lost. It is. It is sent forth. And this is the means that God uses to draw his people unto him. So let's be real clear that this teaching, this doctrine that Christ revealed on this occasion, that their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that happened before the world began, that takes away the responsibility of the sinner to turn from his sin. This does not deny the sinner's responsibility. He is still responsible. The Apostle Paul said, God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the secrets of men by my gospel. That's responsibility. Every sinner has the responsibility to fall down before Jesus Christ and worship him in spirit and in truth. This does not exclude means then. The Lord always uses means of some kind or other in saving his people. Didn't he save the Apostle Paul while he was on the road to Damascus by shining a great light around him? Didn't he speak to him from heaven? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Was that not means? Of course it was. And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Lord, what will you have me to do? Get up and go into the city, and it'll be, you see this certain man, it'll be told you what you're to do. Do you see that Paul willingly got up, willingly believed on Jesus Christ, willingly went to Ananias, willingly was baptized, willingly went out into the desert for 3 years. All of these things indicate that God uses means. This then does not eliminate faith, but demands it. You got to have faith. You got to believe. And you're responsible to do it. It does not bypass holiness. For the child of God must live a holy life. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So these things aren't excluded or removed. They're still there. But these things that I'm mentioning are all the effects of God's calling. And we're called because we were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so God wrote these names in the Book of Life before there was anything in existence. So nothing that's ever happened in time can have anything to do with putting your name in that Lamb's Book of Life. It was all of grace. Now, in the fourth place, let's note that their rejoicing was redirected. Christ here redirects their rejoicing from casting out devils, but to rejoice because their names were written in heaven. Now, this is a major thing, and the Lord will never mention it. If it hadn't have been an important matter, Christ would have just went right on with his ministry, and he said, "You men, just go ahead and rejoice that you have the power to cast out devils." But there's something important here. This is a real issue, and it's important. Their names, notice now, he didn't say your names will be written. That's what the Arminian wants you to believe. The Arminian says, you got to understand that this thing is like the song that they sang about the railroad, the engineer, that you got to run your train, you got to keep your eye on the rail and your hand on the throttle, and you got to run that race successfully or you won't be saved. But we believe that we do run the race successfully, not because of any ability we have, but because our names are written in the Book of Life, and Christ has undertook to save us by his own power and his sacrifice, and he is keeping us all through our lives. And therefore, it's important for us to rejoice with this redirected rejoicing in the fact that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love the hymn, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled." That expresses the truth of the gospel. But did you know, in our hymn book, there are 5 stanzas. In the Gadsby, that hymn has 7 stanzas. And I want to call your attention to one of those that they have left out. And it is in the Gadsby, number 6. And here's what it says. "E'en down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born." The Arminians do not like that. They don't believe that. And we have these editors that edit these songs. And let me tell you, if they want to take out a stanza, if there's one like that in it, they will take it out because they don't believe it. So we must recognize then that the Lord keeps us. And we don't keep ourselves. Let me show you that this is not just what the Lord said in Luke. But let me turn you to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to see that Peter says the same thing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read 3 so you get the thought, but we're looking at primarily at verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant or great mercy hath begotten. And now that's born again, same word, born again, us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now listen to what he says. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein greatly rejoice. This is the echo of Christ's words. Rejoice not in that you can cast out demons, because that's a temporary thing. That's going to pass away. There are no Christians today that can do that. But rejoice, because your names are written in heaven, and wherein you greatly, verse 6, rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And so he goes on. Therefore, we know that according to what Jesus said here, that we have this glorious name writing that was written before the foundation of the world, and that we are to rejoice in it. Now, let me kind of illustrate that for you. And I want you to turn with me to Romans 8, because this is a good place for you to see that. In Romans chapter 8, we know, according to verse 31, because our names are written in heaven, listen to what he says there. What shall we then say to these things? And he's talked about, and I'll mention some of these things, that we were predestinated, we were called, we were justified, and we shall be glorified. But notice he says in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things that he's mentioned? If God be for us, who can be against us? What is that? That's the basis of our rejoicing. God is for us. God wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he has called us by his grace. And therefore, we are those little children that believe his word. No one can charge anything against us. Note in verse 34, who is he that condemns? Who can condemn this child of God? Let me illustrate that. If you were called before a judge because you owed him money and couldn't pay, say $10,000, and as you were called in to the chambers of that judge, his son should walk up and say, Father, I'm representing this man, and I paid this debt for him. Don't you recall? What would the judge say? Would he say, well, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. I'm still going to demand that you pay the bill? Of course not. The bill's been paid and he's a just judge. You go free. Listen, when we're called before God, Jesus Christ has paid our bill. And there's nothing for us to answer to. Listen to what he says there. Who can condemn? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Christ is interceding for all of those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then notice also, beginning in verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're sheep is counted for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither, and Paul just exhausts his language, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Every saved sinner should be rejoicing that his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And did you know no name will ever be removed from that book? You say, but aren't there some passages in the scripture that talk about blotting out? Yes, there are. But you know what that means? That blotting out just simply means, and we could look at Judas as an example. Judas was never in that book. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that it was predicted that Judas would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. His name wasn't in the Lamb Book of Life. The 11 were, the 70 were, but Judas was not there. And Judas did exactly what he wanted to do. So we then know that no name will ever be taken out of that Book of Life. And if this idea were true that the Arminian has, and they actually teach this, that if you sin, well, God takes out his eraser and erases your name, blots it out. And if you repent, well, he will write it back. Well, I want to tell you, if that was the case, heaven would be sending for another case of erasers because of all the saints in the world. And all they do in the form of sin caused him to blot out our names. It would take a lot of erasing, wouldn't it? That never happens. Though that book has never changed one iota from the day it was written, before the world ever stood, until this good day, and it will be opened at the judgment. And those names will be clear and bold. No erasure marks. No blotting. Straight as they were written before the foundation of the world. Therefore, Christ gives us assurance in this text. I don't want you to rejoice over these temporal things. Those things can change. There'll come a time when you won't have this ability, this power. But that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the cause for rejoicing. You can't trust government. You can't trust people. You can't trust man or woman. But you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. And you believers, your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he encourages us by this revelation so that through our lives we may continually, as one of the old Puritans said, if you want to read the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got to be able to see it. And he said, by faith, God bids us to go back before the world was and to stand next to the Father when he picks up his indelible pen and writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, in conclusion, don't rejoice over temporal things. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May the Lord help you to believe His word.